Good evening, all. I'd like to look at the book of Joshua, the first chapter. But first, I'd just like to there's a lot of new faces here that I haven't known, and I'd like to share a little bit of my testimony. I was 18 years old. I had never heard the gospel before in my life, and I was invited to a Daniel Band concert, a rock concert. It was a Christian band, and this was 1982, so you can imagine there was a lot of controversy on that at that time. Anyway, I remember going to that concert, and for the first time in my life ever hearing Christian songs, songs with Christ in them, with real words, like real meaning to it. And it came to the midsection of the concert, and I remember Dan McCabe, he was actually an elder in an assembly there. And he put his bass down and he started talking. And he started talking about sin. And I had no trouble with knowing that I was a sinner. I mean, that was, I look in the mirror and it's pretty obvious. Just for an example, at the time that was right then, I had tried quitting smoking 6 times. Okay? And I just couldn't do it. Anyway, he went on, and he was talking about salvation. And, you know, there was a lot of parts in salvation, but the thing that really hit me was I grew up in a Roman Catholic home. So, I mean, you go to church every Sunday. And so I remember in the church as well, what I did was I tried to keep myself so busy that I wasn't even thinking about what was being said because it just didn't make any sense to me. You know, it really didn't. And because one of the things that they had said over and over again was like, Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world, okay? And the thing that Dan McCabe brought across at that concert was he was talking about Christ died for my sin. You know, not the sin of the world. Yes, the sin of the world, okay, but it made it personal. You know, at that point in time, I had had all of the, how would you put it, elements of salvation. What I understood what it took to be saved, but I still had one thing that I was struggling with. And honestly, for 30 hours, I remember it like, well, I remember it like yesterday, really. It was about 9 o'clock when I heard that message. And I kid you not, for 30 hours, I had a Gideon Bible, 4 spiritual laws, that's all I had. I had no training. I didn't know anything. I mean, I never really paid attention to church anyway, so I didn't know what they were talking about. And I went, and I couldn't sleep. The question kept coming back again and again and again. And some people might look at this as an odd question, but the question is, God, I can't change my life to be what a Christian should be. You know, so for 30 hours, believe it or not, that's what was on my mind, right? Because, you know, it was a work-based salvation in Roman Catholicism, but that was on my mind. And then at about 3 o'clock the next night, you know, so as I say, 30 hours, I didn't sleep a wink, which wasn't normal, abnormal anyway, but at that point, I was just consumed with that question. And I finally came down to the point where I said to God, I can't do it. I can't change. There's nothing in me that can actually make me good enough to be a Christian. And at that point, I accepted Christ as my Savior, that He paid for my sin, and He could change me. And, you know, sometimes you do things that one day and the next day, you know, you think, well, did it stick? You know? But honestly, I haven't had a desire for a cigarette in 43 years. You know, I didn't do that. You know, that was a God can do thing, you know. Anyway, there was about a couple months later, I knew someone at an assembly in Brantford, Ontario. And they invited me to come in to the meeting there. And I still had a commitment in the Roman Catholic Church because I played bass in the folk choir there. So I was on my way there and I stopped in for the first meeting. And, you know, here I was. I was 18 years old. I had an afro, hair out to here and down past my shoulder blades, bass strapped to my back. You know, no, I don't have any pictures that you can see. and one thing I realized, you know, like I remember, I didn't have anyone judge me. You know, we're talking 1982. Okay, for those who weren't around then, you know, that's there would be judgment for someone like me walking in there, and I wasn't judged. But what did happen? Within the first 2 weeks, I had a deacon come up to me, and he said, "Do you want a job?" And so he gave me a job doing woodworking, doing sculptures. I worked for him for like 7 years. And he was a mentor to me in a silent way. I mean, I think he'd laughed twice in his life. He was pretty quiet, but he had an example. You know, if there was something that needed to be done at someone's house, I was working for him, right? And he would take me and he'd say, "Let's go." And that was it. You know, it was just, it was not a question of what we were going to do. And I had, in the first 2 weeks as well, in that assembly, I had an elder come up to me. I'm not sure if I had my hair cut at that time or not, but anyway, he came up to me and he said, "Mike, would you like to learn how to study the Bible?" 2 weeks, you know, into being somewhere. And he asked me if I'd like to learn how to study the Bible. So what he did was he took me and another fellow, his name was Dave, and we went to his place every Thursday night. And we learned the art and science of hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is the study of how to study the Bible, okay? And it was, I am thankful for that every day of my life because it helps me through the understanding of Scripture. Those things, there's a lot more in my testimony, but those are things I'd like to share, and I'd like to go on to just briefly look at about four verses in Joshua chapter 1. I'd like to look at verses 6 through 9. And these are crazy powerful verses. You know, I mean, there's a lot of... I'll just give you a little bit of the background, okay? They are at the Jordan. Here is Joshua. He has just been... Moses died, which if we read earlier, we'd see it. Moses died, and here is God initiating Joshua into leadership, okay? 38 years before this, at exactly the same place, Joshua had already been across. He was a spy. He spied out land with 11 other guys, and there were two stories that came back. One, they're too big, leave, don't attack. And then Joshua and Caleb, they basically said, "Hey, listen, God's given us land. Get your mind in gear, okay? We're going. You know, like, he's given it to us." I'm paraphrasing there just a little bit. Okay, but that's the picture, right? He's there now again, and then God is talking to him about this stuff. And he's saying these things, okay? So the words that he gives are incredibly important. Just start in verse 6, and it says, "Be strong and courageous." This is the first time this happens. This happens three times. This phrase happens three times, okay? Be strong and courageous. Now, courageous, he's talking about, "Joshua, I want you to approach what's going to come your way with a mindset and a character that you rely on my strength to get through." That's a lot of word to say strong and courageous. But that's what he's saying to him. He's saying, I need you to prepare your mind and your character because stuff's going to come and it's going to be amazing. It's going to be hard, okay? I'll just give you an example before we even go on, because in chapter 5, what happens? They finally cross the Jordan, right? You know, miracle of miracles. And they get there and they're told, "Now circumcise all the males." Okay, all the kings, all the nations in Canaan are looking at them saying, "We want to kill you." They're afraid of them, okay? But still, here they are, and they're vulnerable. Joshua really needed this to be strong in his character and his mindset, okay? And notice what he says, okay? He says, going on in verse 6, it says, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause the people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them." Very important. Joshua, I am giving you a charge of taking these people over And you know what? They're going to bicker, but I want that land. I want this land. There's going to be problems. There's going to be difficulties. And God is saying, I want you to look at what the challenges are in front of you and say, it's my strength that you need. You're going to need a lot of it. You know, when, well, in my testimony, I said, I can't do it. And I'm sure Joshua said he couldn't do it. That was the right way to do it. God, I can't do this. I need you. That's why I shared part of my testimony. Because this, that's when things come up in life, you know, this is what we need to be doing. We need to be saying to God, God, I can't do this. I need you to help me through. Well, Joshua, he was strong. I mean, look at the guy. He was a slave. He fought in wars throughout the time. Okay, he was a general. He came back with a strong report from being, you know, he was a man of God. And God's still saying this to him. Well, guess what? We need it too. Okay? So going on. So that's the first one in verse 6 where it says, be strong and courageous. But there's three of them. Okay, and I'm going to skip down into verse 9 before we get into 7 and 8. And he says this. It's sort of the two buns with the meat in the middle. Okay, so Joshua 1:6 was the top bun, and we're looking at the bottom bun right now. And Joshua 1:9, and he says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous." Again, get your mind and your character and your attitude to be rely on me for what's coming up. And he says this. Okay, and he says, "Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." He's got a lot of places to go, a lot of things to do. There's another promise, wherever your foot lands, you'll take that land. You know, what a promise. Wow. You know, that's fantastic. But again, what God is doing is he's gearing the mind of Joshua to say, look back on me for strength. Because if you don't look back on me for strength, you're not going to be able to go forward. Maybe I could rewind a little bit again. Remember 38 years ago, they were at the point where, what are we going to do? Are we going to go over and take the land? Are we not? If they had listened to the word of God and had the strength to listen to what God had said, they would have had life. The only two guys that made it into the land were Joshua and Caleb, right? So when he says this stuff, when he says, be strong and very courageous, what he's saying is, be strong and courageous because what I've got to tell you here is life. It is breath. It is everything you need to keep your heart pumping. You know, here we have a book that's a very physical book, right? And yet, it's a very spiritual application. Okay, God uses the physical to show us what really needs to be coming from our heart. Okay, so we go on into verses 7 and 8, and we'll look at the meat, if you will, of the sandwich. And this is fantastic. He uses the same phrase again, but he adds a little word. You know, sometimes little words are the most important words. And when he says this in verse 7, he says, only be strong and very courageous. That word, I mean, very is a nice little word, okay? But what it really means is be passionate. Be passionately courageous, okay? And now what he's going to talk about in these verses, he's saying, this is what you need to have as your passion in your life, because if it's not your passion, you won't follow me the way I want you to follow me. You won't love me the way I want you to love me. Be strong and very courageous in your mind, in your mindset. Be passionate, and it says being careful to do according to all the law and Moses my servant commanded you. Being careful or observant to do all of what Moses commanded you, the law, okay? He's basically saying, observe the law, obey the law. You know, it is rather a simple statement. But look at what he's got behind it. Be passionate about obeying the law, right? And he goes on and he says, do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left. And basically he's saying there, think about that, okay? I mean, if you can turn from the left to the right, then you obviously don't know where center is, or you chose to go off of center, right? Sometimes we don't know what the Word of God says, and we do what's left or right because we just do what we think it says. I think that means, Mike, get into the book and find out what God actually says, okay? That's important. It doesn't matter what I think. If I think something, I mean, God isn't interested in my opinion, okay? Or we've purposely gone off to the left or the right. And here God is saying, be passionate about obedience to me, to my law. Get to know the law, and he'll say this later, okay? That you might have good success wherever you go. What is good success? Success is really basically understanding, wisdom. You know, and wisdom actually brings success, and that's why they chose the word success. So here you've got, you know, obey me so that you would gain understanding. You know, it's interesting, when we obey, we understand why, maybe, you know, and then we learn, and then next time we want to obey because we want to understand more. Well, we go on to verse 8, and we'll close with this, and it says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. So that is, many times it was mouth to ear. Okay, so that's how the Word of God was given, was talked about, and was memorized. So we have, shall not depart from your mouth, and then you shall meditate on it day and night. Okay, meditation is I believe it's a lost art in many ways. We have to work on meditation, have to think through things. It's the idea of study as well. The idea of study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly, not wrongly, right? Rightly dividing the word of truth. And that, how do you meditate? You meditate on what you've learned from God, right? So talking about it, meditating on it, and then he says, that you may observe, or you might be careful to do according to all that is written. Again, obedience, the three things, okay? Is talking about it, about reading, that's even reading the word now in today's terms, and then meditating on it and then obeying it. Now, here's the question I'll just leave you with as my time is gone. And this is the question I ask myself. Am I passionate about speaking the word of God? Am I passionate about meditating about the word of God? And am I passionate about living the word of God? Thank you for your time.